been about 5 years since I talked about this topic. Things have not really gotten any better. The lesson this evening is on entertainment. What we watch on television, what we do with our free time, what we read, how we meditate and think about what's important. So it's always wise to make assessments of anything, really, that we're doing, the job that we do, the activities that we engage in, the hobbies that we choose, the entertainment that we pick. It all has an impact on who we are. And so God says, I want you to test everything. Nothing can escape our scrutiny, especially considering that we have come out of the world, and unfortunately, the world has activities, attitudes, dispositions, and lusts that are not compatible with the Scriptures. Unfortunately, if we grow up in those things, we can't always see that. Sometimes, maybe 5 years in or 10 years into becoming a Christian, we suddenly realize, wow, this isn't right. I need to make some reassessments and adjustments. And as we mature and as we grow, I think that we can't just say, well, I tested that 20 years ago. It was fine then, and I don't need to reevaluate it again. I think we do need to reevaluate our television viewing. I think we do need to reevaluate our entertainment choices from time to time, because the world is not static. And what we're seeing today is far worse than what we were seeing 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Jeannie and I have noticed that even shows that we used to think were safe and enjoyable, things like Perry Mason and things like the old westerns, the saloon scenes in the westerns, the murders in Perry Mason, they drag you through and they make you feel things that it's really not good for a Christian to feel. And so we have to make some assessments. Sometimes we wait 5 minutes if we're going to watch that show and just our Perry Mason and wait till the murder's done. Then we'll get involved in watching it. Because, like I said, Hollywood has made it into an art. They know how to corrupt good morals. They know how to change the attitudes of the culture by their entertainment. And so we need to test things. We need to make a determination. If it's good, we need to cling to it. If it's evil, then we need to abstain and flee from it. God, of course, has told us that the world is a dangerous place for the Christian. By world, what God is talking about is those people in this world, 90, 99% of the people, who have chosen their own way to live. They are not regulated by God or God's scriptures. They choose what they're going to do. And unfortunately, all that is in the world is verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's what I'm testing for. That's what you're testing for. Does this program pass that test? Is it good? Is it wholesome? Is there bad language in it? How much bad language is it? Is there any sexual things in it? Is there any violence in it? Is there any desire for vengeance in it? Is it teaching morals that are inappropriate? Jeannie was telling me the other day that Hallmark Channel has decided now to start airing shows with homosexuals who are going to get married at the end. And I just thought to myself, that's beyond me. I've been frustrated with them because I've noticed more and more they're divorcees who are going to get married in the end. And it used to be they had died, their spouse had died, or neither one of them was married, but now people, you have no idea whether they were scripturally divorced or not. You don't know whether to root for them or not. And certainly, in a homosexual situation, they're going to make it emotional, and they're going to make you want to pull for that person to get that other person in the end. And our culture doesn't need that. And we certainly don't need that. So this is how Hollywood works. This is how, quote, trademarks like Hallmark, which is supposed to be a family-oriented program. And yet, as we watch, the things in the culture continue to shift. And as they shift, Hollywood is either leading the way or coming up behind to fill in that gap. But what we need to realize is the world can't create anything new. The world can only corrupt the good emotions, desires, and morals that God created for us. So we have to make assessments. Jesus is very clear in the Sermon on the Mount about emotions, about sexual desire, about anger, about vengeance, about things that are the main fare in a lot of television programs today. And the way they choose to deal with things is very different from the way that he says we should deal with them. And so if we coarsen our mind by watching and approving of the way worldly-minded people are doing things, it's going to make it that much harder for us to get our lives under control. We have to be influenced by what Jesus has revealed to us. But, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words, and a good movie is worth a lot more than that. A good movie can really change our emotions in a good way or in a negative way. And so God has revealed how I'm supposed to use all of these emotions. If people have modified them, if they're misusing them, if they're abusing them, then we have to be careful. Because we don't want to be activating corrupted desires. Paul speaks of not walking as the rest of the Gentiles because they walk in the futility of their mind. You know, if it feels good, do it is a real good philosophy for animals, but not for man. That's the futility, that we live for our own pleasures, that we live for our own possessions. That's the futility because their understanding is darkened. They can't see the worldview. They can't see the eternal view. We're looking at things from the perspective of eternity. We're realizing that short-term sacrifices for long-term benefits is something that starts in our youth with life insurance and retirement accounts and things like that. But in the spiritual realm, God says the sacrifices you make here are going to pay eternal dividends. And so these people are alienated from the life of God because their understanding is darkened. They've never seen the light. And so either because of ignorance or because of hardening of their heart. Now, ignorance would be, I didn't know. The hardening of the heart is, I know what God says, but I'm not going to do it. And so such people become past feeling. What else could we call it? I'm just trying to grasp the fact that over half the people in Colorado think that we should be able to abort a baby all the way up until 9 months. How did that get passed? I can't even comprehend. That's a baby. Would you kill a baby? These people must be, well, I hate to use the word animals because I don't want to be slanderous, but they must be past feeling. I mean, who among us could hold a baby that's 8.5 months old and say, because the mother doesn't want it, this child needs to die? And yet, that's what passed. And we can't argue that the feelings and the emotions of the American people are hardening and coarsening and darkening. And so, what we're reading about here, from the time that we were children, if we're in our 40s or 50s, until this present moment, we've seen some seismic shifts. One example, when President Obama was elected, he said, I'm against homosexual marriage. Before he left office, 8 years later, he was for homosexual marriage. What happened? Well, Hollywood and pressure and things changed the culture enough that they were able to push it through. Today, it's not even an issue. Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, they all think homosexuality is a personal choice. And I'm not going to argue with that. I think I've gradually come to terms with the fact that homosexuality is no different than adultery. It's no different than stealing or lying. God put that in the same list. Now, we understand from Romans chapter 1 that there's some things about homosexuality that are frightening. But we can't have that visceral response that everyone used to have back in the 60s. I'm not so sure now, looking back on it, if that was right either. But now it's in the mainstream. Now it's come to Hallmark. It's in the schools. your children that are in schools are being taught that this is a viable opportunity. This gender thing where kids get to decide if they're a boy or a girl. 8-year-old, 9-year-old, boy says, I want to be a girl. Mom says, okay. I think if I'd gone to my dad and said that, I might have got a good spanking and told, wake up, you're a boy. Can't be a girl. It's not the way people look at it today. Matter of fact, just saying that would offend some people. Because how did that woman put it during the confirmation hearings of our Supreme Court? Gender is not a choice. And she didn't mean gender, male or female. She meant you being a boy in a girl's body, a girl in a boy's body. You don't have any control over that. You're scratching your head thinking, huh, that's an interesting way, professing themselves to be wise. And like I said, it's trickling down. It's trickling down into politics. It's trickling down into our entertainment. It's just something we need to be aware of. Because the old man does grow corrupt. And we need to have the new man. Our heart is our most precious possession. It's the window through which we see and understand the world. The heart is either evil or good. It's either full of light or full of darkness. And we control that. And as Christians, we've been really blessed. I believe that my early upbringing, even though I was not a Christian, I didn't live in a Christian home, but the world that we lived in the 50s and 60s, you could develop faith in God just by the way the culture looked at things. I remember some of the Christmas programs that were going on in the schools, and they deeply touched me. You say, well, those weren't true. Well, they weren't true, but they drew me toward the Lord. And I look at that today, and I think, what chance would I have had in this world? And it's just a heartbreak, because as things become more and more evil, fewer and fewer people can grope after and find him. And Jeremiah had an interesting point about that. God told the false prophets in Jeremiah, if you had been preaching the truth, we could have changed the country. But because of the way that you are acting, the only thing, the only option you've left me is to kill them all. What a terrible indictment. And I would say the same thing about denominational preachers today. They have reached a level where you couldn't find the truth or morality or godliness within them. If we had a meter over the last 40 years, I think we would see that we're heading toward only evil continually. And the Lord knows my heart, and he knows your heart. You know, we are the victims of our past decisions. And I don't mean victim in the sense of there's nothing we can do about it, but I mean victim in the sense of we have damaged ourselves by those bad decisions, or we have strengthened ourselves with our good decisions. And so the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly, not a knife or a gun, but they are mighty in God. I noticed that some of the newer translations, like the New American Standard and the English Standard Version, have divine power here. Divinely powerful. I didn't have time this afternoon to go look at the Greek and see whether that was a viable option or not. If it is, I'm going to use it because I like that better. Mighty in God is not nearly as good as the weapon has divine power. But I think that's true, because it can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We've all met people who are deeply steeped in sin, and 30 years later, they're pure. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some things in the recesses of their mind. You can't get it all out. But the power of the gospel to cleanse our minds is wonderful, but the evil companionship of our entertainment, I can't undo. If you're watching 10 hours of television a week, I can't undo that in 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes in the afternoon, and an hour on Wednesday night. And even if we added the book of Romans in, we can't undo. And a sermon doesn't have the same emotional power as Hollywood making a character that we vicariously, which means through our imagination, we feel along with him. And those feelings can do more to change the way people see things than the scriptures if you don't have any faith. And so some of the things we do will strengthen and fortify these weapons, and others will weaken and nullify them. So entertainment reveals our character. What we like to watch tells God and me. You know, if I can come over and look through your movie collection, I can tell a lot about you. And I can get a pretty good idea. And so most people would say, well, preacher, you'll never see it. Because we don't want that kind of assessment. Others might say, hey, come on over and take a look at what I have and let's get rid of some things. When my dad died, he lived with us for the last year and a half of his life. And he brought all his videos with him. And we ended up throwing away about, I don't remember, half or three quarters of them. I can't remember now. They weren't something we could sell. They weren't something that we could give away. They just needed to be destroyed. They were not worth anything. And so we got rid of them. Why? Because our character can't tolerate that kind of entertainment. Now, it wasn't vile sexual stuff. A lot of it was just violence. My dad seemed to be drawn to violence. And of course, violence is, I used to say, well, it's only rated PG-13 for violence. But then I started reading in Genesis chapter 6 where the Lord says, because the earth is filled with violence, the flesh has corrupted itself, and we're going to destroy them. God is love. I don't think God would enjoy watching violence. And I'm not so sure he wants his people to enjoy watching violence. It certainly gets the adrenal glands moving. And it certainly leaves you with a sense of satisfaction when you see the guy who was mistreating somebody at the beginning of the show get shot by him at the end of the show. And you're going, yeah, that's exactly. No, that's not exactly how it's supposed to be. Vengeance is mine. So vicarious is a word. I looked it up today. I wanted to see where it came from. Actually, it's the same concept as a vicar in the Catholic Church. And you say, well, what's that? Well, I don't know either. But anyway, this person who is vicarious has the ability to use his imagination. In other words, we're not just watching that character. We become that character to a small degree or a large degree. If you are reading a book and you get totally immersed in it, you are seeing what they see, feeling what they feel, and making the same kinds of decisions that they want to make, whether it's good or bad, of course, depends on the book. So, it is dangerous in entertainment. If it is good, then it's fine. But it's getting harder and harder. I don't know that there's any network television. We used to watch network television growing up. We'd watch Star Trek, and we'd watch Happy Days, and we would enjoy the sitcoms. They were, you know, they were edgy, but they were better. But today, you can't hardly watch that stuff. Matter of fact, I can't think of anything that I watch on regular television anymore, and I can't think of a whole lot of things I can watch on Netflix or any of these other programs that are out there. There's just not a lot. You have to pick the best of the worst, and sometimes the best of the worst is still worse than what a Christian ought to be viewing. Because if we vicariously feel the evil that our main character is doing, that's sin. So how could that be sin? Well, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. So if my main character is doing that, and I'm vicariously doing it with him, I just sinned. Now, he was just acting. But my imaginations are drawing me into a direction that I can't go. Same thing with anger. Same thing with murder. Same thing with any of the topics that Hollywood has decided we need to see. You know, they made it very clear. I think it was in the late 19th century, or 1900s, about 1995, 1999, that they weren't just making movies to make money. They were making movies to change the culture. Which means a lot of the guilt for the changes that have occurred. Now, I'm not saying the American people aren't culpable. I'm just saying the American people have their mouths open, and whatever mama bird brings and puts in their mouth, they eat. And Hollywood decided we're going to put a little bit of vile moral poison into every bite they take, and we're going to change this culture to make it more tolerant of our lifestyles. If you ever look at the Hollywood people, you can understand why they'd like to change the culture. Because the way they live is despicable. Well, they don't want it to be despicable, so they want us to change so that it's not despicable. So if what we watch can pass the test, God wants this in my mind. This is not evil. This is wholesome. These emotions that I'm feeling are good. I like to watch shows where somebody is struggling to conquer something or overcome something, a health problem, an accident, and they're victorious in the end. That is a very satisfying way to be entertained. There's nothing evil about it, nothing corrupt about it, and if they're careful, they don't put any of that in there. You don't have to go with them through the bar and through the various ups and downs, their divorces, their issues. We have to be careful. God says, if it's not true or noble, if it's not just and pure, if it's not lovely and of good report, if there's no virtue and nothing praiseworthy about it, it can't go in our minds. But that's what entertainment will do. It'll put it in our minds. And so we have to be careful. If we find ourselves struggling, you remember when Jesus said, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It may be the reason my hand is causing me to stumble is the television, and maybe it's time to get rid of it. Or maybe it's the internet. Or maybe it is the books or magazines or video games. I mean, the whole landscape has changed to where people are being corrupted by things that us old fogies don't even know anything about. We wouldn't even know. Oh, you want to go play a video game? Oh, sure, that's fine. Well, you find out later. These video games now, some of them are rated mature. Some of them are rated like an X-rated thing, because they are. Entertainment that creates a love for truth, nobility, justice, purity, beautiful, lovely, uplifting thoughts, good reputation, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Go ahead. You can watch that. That'll be wholesome. Don't watch too much of it, because there's other responsibilities and we can't afford to let our entertainment take too much of our lives. But we have to protect our hearts. And God says that in Proverbs 4. Keep your heart with all diligence. It's interesting. Another translation has it, of all the things you have, keep your heart. Protect your heart. It's the most important thing. Because out of it are the springs, or spring, the issues of life. So if I let evil, it's just like if I eat. If I eat corrupted food, you know what's going to happen. If we eat garbage food for 20, 30, 40 years of our lives, it's going to translate into serious problems inside of the body. We all know that. That's why we have doctors to tell us, because in our youth, we don't care. We're going to eat anything we want. But in our 40s and 50s, we go to the doctor. The doctor says, look, your cholesterol is an issue, and your family especially, you need to be careful about what you're eating. These things will kill you. And they're not lying. They're not exaggerating. It's true. Well, that's the same thing in the spiritual realm. We can have spiritual cancer. We can have spiritual heart disease. We can have spiritual high blood pressure. You say, how could you have that? Well, spiritual sicknesses. That's what Paul was talking about this morning when we were talking about the Lord's Supper. Some of you are spiritually sick. spiritually weak. Some of you are spiritually sleeping or dead. So our actions. You know, if I watch enough vile stuff this week, I'm going to have a hard time taking the Lord's Supper next weekend. Because there's going to be a residue in the mind that has to be taken care of. And evil company corrupts good habits, or another translation, bad company ruins good morals. The Greek can translate it either way. You say, well, those are just people. No, they're not people. They're anything. They're a book. A book that we have grown to make one of our favorite books. I have books that I read. I read them year after year after year. I like them. They make me feel good. They're wholesome. A lot of the classics are wholesome. They're fun to read. They're uplifting. There's always a moral, because that's the way people used to think 200 or 300 years ago. But our entertainment, for most of us, brethren, our entertainment is the most likely place we're going to find evil companionship. Most of us are real careful at work. We're careful among our neighbors. If our neighbors invite us over and there's alcohol and things that are not there, we won't go again. But that television. Now, I downloaded this off the internet today. I brought about 10 copies if you'd like to look at it. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's just too involved. I think Carl might have read this years ago as an invitation. I can't remember. A few months before I was born, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into the world a few months later. Now, you all know what he's talking about. He's talking about the television. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in our family. Mom taught me the Word of God. Dad taught me to obey it. But the stranger told us stories. Adventures, mysteries, comedies. He took my dad and myself to our first major baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies, and he even made arrangements to introduce us to movie stars, of course, in these different programs. To my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. I'm trying to decide where I want to go. He talked too freely about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know now my early concepts of the man-woman relationship were influenced. As I look back, I believe it was the grace of God that this stranger didn't influence us more. Time after time, he opposed the values my parents tried to instill in us, yet he was seldom rebuked, never asked to leave. More than 30 years have passed since this stranger moved in with the young family. But if I were to walk into my parents' den today, you would still see him sitting in the corner waiting for someone to listen. Of course, again, his name was TV. And then a guy put this, and I thought it was interesting. And the stranger has a wife now. We call her Internet. And I think that's true. So this stranger, and brethren, let's face it, the television is a focal point in many people's homes. We arrange our chairs around it, and we use it. Now, some of us use it in a wholesome way, but this stranger can go anywhere. And right now, with access to Netflix and Amazon Prime and all of the things that are out there, we can get in way over our head real quick. And so we have to be discerning and we have to be careful because we're protecting our heart. And if you think this isn't going to come back later and be hurtful to us, then we're not thinking clearly at all. The evil companionship we fear is described here, and I think this is a pretty good description of what we've seen happen to our friend, the TV. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. That pretty well covers a lot of the R-rated movies that are out there today. It pretty well covers a lot of the PG-13 and sometimes even the PG or TVM movies or TV-13 movies. You see murder. Even Perry Mason. Even most of the Westerns. Even the stuff in the 50s. You see a lot of murder. Almost every show. Strife. Deceit. You know, I used to enjoy that. Now I just turn it off. It makes me sick. I just think, I'm not going to get drugged through this. I don't want to have to go through these emotions. I don't need them. Evil-mindedness. Backbiters, haters of God. I mean, you see a lot of that on television. Verse 32, though, is the key for our understanding, and that is, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and we do, we know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. I would preach against any one of these things in a sermon, and you would listen to it and say amen. Then after the sermon's over, we go home and we watch people do it. Those who practice such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. If you don't turn off the television, you're approving. And Nielsen's going to tell the people who put that out there, here's another person who enjoyed this. You say, well, I didn't enjoy it. Well, if you didn't turn it off, you're a vote. If you go watch a movie, a vile movie that Hollywood is trying out, and you go see it, you're voting for it. You're approving. If you disapprove, you won't go. The word approve is a triple compound Greek word made up of with, well, and to think. So this means that I think well with this person as they're doing what they're doing. I'm approving. I'm going right along with them. Now, we may say in our mind, well, I don't really approve of it. Well, then why are you watching it as entertainment? Why don't you fast forward it? Why don't you turn it off? Why do you allow yourself to be drugged through what they're doing, thinking well with them? Because you're not vexed enough to turn it off. To take pleasure with others in anything. To be pleased with, agree, consent, be willing, think well of, assent, or feel gratified with. So that's what these people were doing. And like I said, we're not going to do this at work. We're not going to do it if it's going on in a grocery store. Because in our minds, that's real. Television is just imaginary. It's not real. I had somebody tell me once that they could watch all violence on television because they knew it wasn't real. But it's still coarsening. And God hates it. And if we can watch it without being sick enough to turn it off, there's something wrong with us. Problems within. And so, entertainment reveals our character. The emotions that we feel while reading a book, if they're sinful, we're sinning. If they're righteous, we're growing. Reading a book, watching a TV program, watching a movie. If they're sinful, we're going to have to repent. And godly sorrow would say, if you repent of this movie, the next time another one like it comes out, you're not going to watch it. If you watch it and repent again, God's going to be scratching his head saying, what's the matter with this person? Was this godly sorrow or not? Hollywood puts out a steady diet of unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Just watch any soap opera. Watch any soap opera tomorrow. You'll see. Let me back up. Don't watch a soap opera tomorrow. But I will tell you that it is disgusting. You say, how do you know? I say, well, I don't know. I haven't watched one. But I know it's disgusting because Mom used to watch it 30 years ago and it was disgusting then, and I can't imagine it's gotten any better. I remember As the World Turns, every day, I don't know what time it was, noon or 1 o'clock, it went on. And I couldn't get out of there fast enough because I just didn't like that stuff at all. These things are going to corrupt our good morals. If we watch characters that whisper and backbite, like we see in some of these shows, they hate God and they're violent, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and of course I could go on and on, but the point I think is made. We either hate these sinful practices or we agree with it. There's really no middle ground. If you watch it, you're agreeing with it. Now, maybe not 100%, but just enough to keep watching. And the problem with that is that there's no neutrality. We've used this verse many times in Ezekiel chapter 9. God is getting ready to destroy Jerusalem. He sends out a man with an inkhorn, and he says to the six angels who are waiting there with their battle axes to go out and kill everyone, and God says, wait till this man goes through Jerusalem and puts a mark on the forehead of everyone who is sighing and crying over the abominations. And I have a whole sermon on this, and at the end of the sermon I ask you, and I'll ask you now, would you get that mark? Do you sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in America as they are portrayed on our television sets every night? Or are we pleased with, agreeing with, and consenting with, because we sit down with our popcorn and get entertained while people are using sexual immorality or drunkenness, or perhaps they're planning a murder, or they're going to get even? Now here we are eating popcorn. We ought to be throwing up. There really isn't any middle ground. We're either disgusted with, sighing and crying and turning it off, or we're agreeing with. There can't be any neutrality. You remember this. Vice. Back in the 50s, vice was pornography, drug use. Did you read that Oregon has just legalized all drugs? All illegal drugs. Heroin? Doesn't matter what it is. You can use it there. Now, I may be taking that too far, but that's what I read today. What kind of a world are we living in? Vice. Destroying people's lives. Used to be the vice squad went out. If you were a homosexual, if you were committing adultery, if you had pornography, if you had drugs, if you were gambling, you were going to get arrested. And at that time, it only needed to be seen to be hated. But we've seen it too often. We used to endure it as a people. Then we started to pity it. And now we embrace it. And I think we all know that's true. I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to any of us here. So, as we wind down, I've still got three slides. I'm going to quickly kind of finish this up. Lot was sore distressed. He was vexed. He was disgusted with what he saw in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oppressed means vexed with grievous pains, distressed with the implication of being worn out. And tormented means mental torment involving sorrow mixed with anguish and anger. That's how we ought to feel when we see this thing. That's how we used to feel as a people. They couldn't get away with it. They didn't even try for many, many years. I think you're all aware that in the 50s, the main characters slept in twin beds. They didn't even go there. They wouldn't even announce that Lucille Ball was pregnant and going to have a baby because that might offend. You're thinking, wow, what a simpler time. So, do you think Lot could be pleased, agree, consent, or feel gratified along with the people of Sodom? And at the same time have grievous pains, mental torment, sorrow, and anger? Clearly, sighing and crying, being oppressed and tormented are the appropriate responses to entertainment. And the only reason we don't feel that way when something like that comes on is because we've been coarsened. We've been darkened, either through ignorance or through the slow hardening of our lives. And so, this is the last slide. We live with the characters. I cry a lot when I watch television shows because I'm so into these characters. When something bad happens to them, I start crying. Isn't that awful? I think it's a tender heart. You may call me a sissy, I don't know, but I think it's a tender heart. Joyous, I love to laugh when something funny happens. Angry at injustice. Offended with sin. But every time Hollywood forces us to vicariously witness sin, we need to feel like Lot. We either close our eyes, or we turn it off, or we get it out of here. That is not acceptable, because when they slip moral issues into an otherwise innocent movie, there was a motive. They're trying to damage our love and devotion to God. And so we need to make an assessment on that, and of course you can do that, each one of us here. We can monitor your television viewing this week and just see how many murders. I think, you know, did you ever see that an average kid who watches TV a couple hours a night is going to see how many thousand murders and how many thousand shootings and bad words, and of course it's even worse today. We all love to be entertained. It's a big part of American culture. People make a lot of money. I mean, there's billions and billions and billions and billions in pornography, in sports, professional sports, in movies, in video games. People are getting rich. But they're also destroying the culture. And that's the heartbreak of it all. And that's where we don't want to get caught up in that. Let's go ahead and open our songbooks to number 269. Most of us here have exempted ourselves from this stuff, probably thinking in your mind that I never got even close to these things. But some of us who are younger, it's tough. It's really tough because you're getting into school. My grandkids are being told to read books that were banned when I was a kid. And now they have to read them. And my daughter's tearing her hair out. Because that's where we're headed. So as we sing the song of encouragement this evening, if there's anyone in the audience who's struggling, who needs the prayers of the church, or who needs help and guidance, we would like to help. If there's someone here who needs to obey the gospel, tonight is the night. Today is the day of salvation. We don't even have tomorrow. If we can be of any assistance to you in any way, we now invite you to come while we together stand and sing.